Okay, the boys, today's daf is daf ches. We're holding about a third down the amud, where the line begins, Neima hani tanoi ke hani tanoi. And we're going back to the machlokes that we had already yesterday and the day before, the shas sugya of the inyan of tuma, hutra betzibur, or dechuyehi betzibur. What does that mean? That any time that you have to go and bring a carbon tzibur, which is kavua loy zman, and there's a problem with massive tumah, either that most of Klal Yisrael became tameh, or the Kohanim that are doing the Avodah became tameh, can we go and bring the carbon? And the answer is yes. Tumah hutra betzibur, or the chuyahi betzibur. Either way, you can bring the carbon. What's the difference between hutra betzibur and chuyahi betzibur? Simple, profound explanation is, when it's tuma hutra betzibur, it's as if there's no tuma whatsoever. It's totally heter. As if it's everything is totally normal. You don't have to think twice. Mutalach, everything is fine. Tuma t'chuyeh betzibur means you got to do whatever you can to try to minimize the possibility of bringing this carbon tuma. You have no breira, okay? You're stuck. Then you have to bring it betumah. But it's not a lichat chiladika thing. It's a real shasad chak b'di'evit type of thing. And we've already touched on this the last couple of days. And now the Gemara wants to say that perhaps the machloikis tanoim that we already found in a braisa yesterday and on Shabbos is in fact a machloikis tanoim of the following braisa. What's the machloikis in the following braisa? The mahani tanoi ki hani tanoi. The sign of the nundan of braisa. We already had this back on Daf Dalet. The Gemara repeats it yet again, that that means both the Kohen Gadol, who's going to do the Avodah on Yom Kippur, and we are sending him away, sequestering him, the Lishkas Parhedrin, as well as the Kohen that's going to do the Sreifas HaPora of the Paraduma, that there too we send them away for 7 days in the Lishkas HaEven. Both of these individuals, every one of the 7 days we do a Hazor Mechatas from the Paraduma to ensure that this Kohen Gadol, or this Kohen respectively, that they happen to be now fully tohar to be able to do the great avoider that they're going to go into. And that's what the Brayta says. Echad zeh, both the Kohen Gadol prior to Yom Kippur, the Echad zeh, and the Kohen is going to be Soyde for Sephora, Mazen Olav Kol Shiva, all those 7 days that they are in sequestration, we're going to go and be Mazen, we're going to go and spritz on them the Paraduma water. Mikol Chatoi Shoyusham, from the Chatois that were there, Parshipshat means in their generation, whichever chatas was there, they used it. Rashi back on Daf Dalet reminded us that from all of the kabbonis chatas, they would always put away a little bit of the ash limishmeres, including some of the ash of Moshe Rabbeinu's paraduma, and that Moshe Rabbeinu's paraduma is still there ad soif kol hadoros. So therefore, the mikol chatoi shoyisham could also mean that they are spritzing from all of the ashes from previous Karbonis Chatas, not Karbonis Chatas, but previous Paras Hadumais, which were done throughout the generations.
I'm always bothered, how diluted is the water and the ash? I mean, it feels like if you're doing it every year, and you're doing, you know, so frequently in all people, how does it not run out?
There's not the amount of Hazor, again, this is Mishnayis and Sechdes Parah, but the amount of Hazor is only a Mashu. You only have to go and spritz, and the Mashu gets on that individual, he's already tahor. So therefore, you can have millions of Mashu's in one Paraduma with the amount of water. So Mazal of Kol Shiva Mikol Chatoi Shu Yisham. And then eventually, of course, it does run out, and that's why they have to do a new Paraduma. Divrame. Rabbi Yosi Oimer Ein Mazen Olav El Shlishu Shvi. God says, Rabbi Yosi, you only have to do Shlishu Shvi. And the Svara is like Rabbi Yosi, because anyone that Chas HaShom becomes a Tmei Mes, you only have to do Azor on Shlishu Shvi. And that we learned from Sukkim at the beginning of Parshas Chukas. So what's the reason why we're doing it Kol Shiva? So we're going to discuss this in some detail on here in the Amid Aleph and on the Amid Beis. But Bekitsur, it's very simple. We want to make sure that the Kohen Gadol or the Kohen, respectively, are Tehoirim. They may have unwittingly, without their realization, they have maybe come tamei tamas meth. How are they tamei tamas meth? They didn't know about it? Yeah, they were walking in the streets, and underneath wherever they were walking, there was a tumma of a mess. They didn't realize they were walking over it. There was no matzeva. There was a matzeva previously. It was washed away. Whatever. They may have become tumas mess without them even realizing. Okay, so we want to go and do the spritzing of the paras chatas. But you only have to do it in shlish yishvi. But I don't know when this koyin gadol or this koyin may have become tamei. They may have become tamei a week ago, a month ago, or for that matter, maybe only the last few days. So we're going to assume as that maybe this koyin gadol, this koyin, got tamei 2 days ago. When I say 2 days ago, 2 days before he begins his prisha, his sequestration, and so therefore, if I mazer on him on day one, that will be the third day since he became tamei. 2 days before he became, he were being porish him for the lishkas behedrin or lishkas evan. 2 days before that, he may have touched a mess. He may have been oil tamei. He may have been mile on a tamei. Whatever the situation was, he became tamei. That was 2 days ago. So today, the first day of Prisha, is day number 3, we're Mazah Olaf. And then, of course, 4 days later. Then when it comes day number 2, perhaps he didn't become tummy 2 days before the 7 days of Prisha, but only 1 day before the days of Prisha. So it was that first day before the Prisha, then the first day of Prisha itself. And today, which is day number 2 of the Zayin Yimei Prisha, so you have 3 days. So you're going to go and do Hazor today. And then we're going to do Hazor again on Day Shlishi, because perhaps on the first day of Prisha, en route to the Lishkas Behedrin, without his even realizing it, he walked over Nebuchad, a mess, he touched a mess, Malal a mess, he was an oil a mess, he became Tomei. So therefore that day itself was day number 1. So on Yom Shlishi he also goes and does the Hazoas Shlishi. Aha, so that's the first 3 days. Now, going back to day number 1, since you always have to have 4 days between the first Hazor and the second Hazor, because it's day Shlishi and day Shvi, so then, since he had Hazor on Yom Rishon of his 7 days of Prisha, so now moving 4 days ahead, he has to have Hazor on day number 5 to correspond with day number 1. Same thing is if he had Hazor on day number 2, he has to have the second Hazor on day number 6. It's lahavdil, almost like today, you have to have 2 shots, except for Johnson & Johnson, which clots the blood, but otherwise you have to have 2 shots.
So 0.006%.
Exactly.
But you skipped day number 4. There's no need to have day number 4.
It was done intentionally.
Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome. So from day number 1 to day number 5, we have a 4-day interval. From day number 2 to day number 6, we have a 4-day interval. From day number 3 to day number 7, we have a 4-day interval. That's why we're being mazah on him day 1, 2, 3, and days 5, 6, 7. The question is, like Barry is posing the question, what about day number 4? We just said that you have to be mazah kol shiva. And the Gemara is going to address that in Mietz Hashem on the Omid base. That precise question. But in the meantime, that's the reason why the mayor holds kohen du hazor every one of the 7 days, just in case he became tamei 2 days before, 1 day before, on the first day. Therefore, you cover all bases. The biosis is not necessary, because the din of shlishi doesn't mean that it has to be done on the third day after the person becomes tamei. What shlishi means is, whenever the person becomes tamei, and now you want to go and do hazor, you cannot do the hazor as rishon before the third day after the person became tamei. But what happens if the person is not in Yerushalayim, and he's not, there's no parah aduma water available in his locale? He's going to go and have a special scheduled appointment. He does it online. He's going to have an appointment to get the Hazoas Shlishi when? In a week from now. Does that say, oh, I can't do it in a week from now. It's got to be a Shlishi, huh? You can't. No. Shlishi is the earliest time. But you can go do it a day later. You can do it a month later. You can do it a year later. All of us, unfortunately, have a suffix where we are Becheskas Tmei Mes. Whenever Mir Hashem will be the next Paraduma, people won't say, well, I have to wait 3 days now. No, you don't have to wait 3 days. You've already gone through the minimum of 3 days since the time that the person became Tmei Mes. So that being the case, me Ikar Adin, Rabbi Yossi is right. There's no reason why you have to go and do it all 7 days. Because if he became Tomei 2 days ago, the Mashal, and if we were to do the Hazor for the first time on day three of his Zayin Yimei Prisha, that would be fine. And that's what Rabbi Yossi says. Do the Zon now on Shlishi. Do the second one on Shvi. You obviously can't do it earlier. You can't do it on day one or day two, because maybe that won't be a full 3 days since the time that the person became a Tamei Mes. But if you assume that the worst, that he became Tamei 5 minutes before he hit the Lishkas Parhedrin, fine. So that's day one, day two, day three. On day three, we'll do the first Azah. 4 days later, we'll do the second Azah. It'll be Shlishi Ushvi. So that's what Rabbi Yossi holds. And the mayor seems to be Machmir in requiring 7 full days. The question is, why? Where does this come from? Miat Shem, we will discuss this momentarily. Rav Chanin is Kana Kahana Moimer. He's a Yovi HaKosav HaShlishi V'Yachriyam B'Neihem, because he says, it depends. We keep on saying Echod V'Echod, which means both the Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippur and the Kohen before the Sreif HaSapara. Says Rav Chanin is Kana Kahana, it depends. Kohen HaSreif HaSapara Mazin Olav Koshiva. Yeah, he taka gets full 7. I agree. Kohen Gadol B'Yom Kippur Ein Mazin Olav HaShlishi Shvi. You can add the word buvat. So therefore, you have now machloikis between Reb Meir, Reb Yossi, and Reb Chanin is Kana Kehanim. Reb Meir says in all cases, in other words, both cases, mazen kol shiva. Reb Yossi says in both cases, shlish shvi. And Reb Chanin is Kana Kehanim says, it depends. The Kohen HaSreif HaSapara is kol shvi. Mashenke, the Kohen Gadol B'Yom Kippurim is only shlish shvi buvat. Paiti ma ma'la ba'akam nifiki, what is the machloikis between Reb Meir and Reb Yossi, and we're only focusing now on the din of the Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippur, because Paraduma is not considered to be a Korban Tzibur, and even if it was a Korban Tzibur, it's not Kavua Leizman, because I can go and bring the Paraduma and do the whole process of the Paraduma on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. There's no particular day, but Yom Kippur I have to bring the Kabbalas in Yom Kippur. That's obvious, and that's of course this week's parasha. You are so nervous about Tuma v'tzibur. Yeah, b'diavad b'shas al-chak. You have no other choice. Yeah. But avada, don't go just, oh, it's Tuma, you have no problem. It's a tzibur, Tuma is nothing. No, it's a big, big thing. And therefore, that's why Remeir is so machmir and says you have to go and do a full azor for 7 days. Chas v'sholom, the Kohen Gadol might be tamei. We got to be really, really careful and scrupulous and meticulous. The Kohen Gadol has to wear 2 masks every single day to make sure he doesn't get tamei, he doesn't spread the tamei. He has to be sequestered, has to be social distancing. He got to be very careful. And therefore, since tamei is hutra b'tzibur, just do the minimum that is required. And the minimum that's required, it says, you don't have to do more than that. That's sufficient. So l'chayra, now I have a new set of tanoim that argue in this machloikis whether tuma hutra b'tzibur or tuma is the chuyah b'tzibur.
Why does, according to Meir, even to hold chuyah, why do you need this? It's still extra. There's no.
You're right. The Gemara is going to address that in another 2 lines. Frank the Gemara b'tizbra. This pshat l'chayra on the surface sounds good, but let me ask you a kasha. If Rabbi Yossi holds Tumah Hutra B'tzibur, Hutra means that it's total Heter. Heter means it's as if nothing happened, as if it's totally, totally Tahar. V'tizbra Yisobah Rabbi Yossi Heter B'tzibur Hazor Kla Lomli. Why do you have to do Hazor at all? Even if we knew that the Kohen Gadol, in fact, was Tumah, big deal, since he's the only one that is authorized to do the Karban, and we have a din of Tumah Hutra B'tzibur, let him bring the carbon. And here we don't even know that he is Tommy Mess, and in all likelihood he's not. We're just trying to be super careful, super scrupulous, super meticulous.
Prophylactic,
exactly. We have no idea that he was. Why should he? Kohen Gadol. He should get close to Mess, Chas v'Shalom. It's highly, highly improbable, highly unlikely. And it's some Hutter Mitzibur. So, Azor Klal Amli, what do we even need the Shlish Yushvi for? So Timur Ella the Kulial Mahani Tonoisavi Tchuma Tuma Tchuyhi Batsibur. So our attempt to find another pir of Tanoim that hold the same machloikis as we had before, that attempt has fallen. But rather we're gonna go and say everybody holds Tuma is Tchuyhi Batsibur. So Ibazoi, Brother Shai asked a moment ago, what's the reason why Reb Meir requires all 7 days? What does this mean? The Pasuk says in Parshas Chukat, that you have to go mimaze on the person who is mimes two times on shlishi ushvi, and then it says in the pasuk the chitoy biyoy mashvi, which means that on the seventh day he has to go and toivel in the mikveh. Okay, now the question is, what happens if he doesn't toivel in the mikveh on day number seven? He goes and toivels in the mikveh on day number eight, or day number nine, or day number ten. Kuliyam lemoida, that will be effective. But is there a special inyan to go and toivel that day? And the answer is, amach likes. Ramei yisav amrin and tevila bezman and mitzvah, just like you have to do shlishi ushvi and the hazois, you cannot have the second hazoah more than four or less than 4 days interval after day number three. So tevila has to be done on day number seven. Not that it has to be, it's not ma'akif, but it's a mitzvah. And therefore, after he finishes getting his hazoah on Yom Shvi, v'chitta b'yom Shvi, you should go to the mikveh and get the benefit of the tefillah b'zmanah. Rabbi Yossi said, well, I'm reading tefillah b'zmanah mitzvah. You can take the tefillah next day, 2 days later. The mikveh is closed today. No problem. I'll come tomorrow. There's no din of tefillah b'zmanah mitzvah. Now, what the Gemara leaves out is that we're not talking about tefillah here. We're talking about hazah. Therefore, the Gemara is presuming at this point that Rameya that holds tefillah b'zman mitzvah extends this halacha as well to the din of hazah, that hazah b'zman mitzvah. And Rabbi Yossi that holds lo yamrin tefillah b'zman mitzvah, he similarly holds that hazah doesn't have a din dafka b'zman. Oh, so this already answered Brother Shai's question, and that is, why does Rameya insist on having hazah all 7 days? Because he may have become tamei 2 days ago. That's why he went on Yom Rishon, that's day number three. He may have become tamei yesterday. That's why we have hazah on day number two. He may have become tamei on day number one. That's why we do hazah on day number three, and so on and so forth. All because
we had the Sutreta woman who came in.
Exactly.
She remembered. Right. Beshamai Beselah.
Beshamai said 91 times. He said 65 times. Yeah. Exactly right. Exactly right. So here too we have that same inyan of tefillah b'zman mitzvah. And by extension, we'll see in the Gemara shortly in another few lines, the reason why we would extend tevila to the din of hazah is because both of them figure in the same pasuk, and therefore we would make a hekesh from tevila to hazah. So Remeir says, tevila b'zman mitzvah every one of the 7 days. Rabbi Yossi says, no special din, and therefore hazah, no special din. So he may or may not have become tameh. So go and spritz on day number three, that takes care of it. He might become Tommy 2 days ago. It makes no difference. No din of dafka hazor bismana. It's good. So therefore, it has nothing to do with tchuyi hibetzibur or hutri hibetzibur. V'savar Rabbi Yosi le'amri in tefillah bismana mitzvah. You're telling me Rabbi Yosi doesn't hold the din of tefillah bismana mitzvah? Tanya, a famous brisa that we had already not too long ago. We had this in Masechet Shabbos. Voshtet on the brisa harishoy shame kosev al b'sarei. What happens if, unfortunately, a person had Hashem's name written on his skin? Yudke Vavke, or another name of the Rabbi Shalom. Nebuch, Rachman al-Islam, he had such a name written on, He should be very careful not to go and wash off that place, not to smear it with oil, and not to stand b'makam ha-tinoifes. The first two of le-yirchatz v'le-yosuch has to do with the fact that it says in the pasuk, "V'ibadatam eshemam min amokay mahu," which means that when it comes to the shame of avodah zarah, especially in Eretz Yisrael, "V'ibadatam eshemam," you should eradicate the name of the avodah zarah from that place, from Eretz Yisrael. And then the next pasuk says, "Loisasim kein l'Hashem alekeichem," but you're not allowed to do anything similar to Chas v'Shalom the Rabbi Nishlem. So yes, there's a mitzvah to be moichik the shame of an avodah zarah, but there's a similar mitzvah, don't do it, to Hashem's name. So therefore, if a person he wrote out with ink on his flesh, he or somebody else, his name, the Yud Kei Vav Kei, or another name of Hashem, so he should be very careful not to go and rinse that spot and not to go and smear it with Shemin, because he will cause possibly the elimination and the erasure of Hashem's name. It's true. As a result of the fact that it's ink, eventually it's going to fade away on its own, which is okay. I didn't do it, just faded on its own. But you're not allowed to do any pu'ula to go and cause it to vanish, to go and be removed. And you shouldn't stand b'mokam ha-tinoifes, means don't stand anywhere where there's a terrible stench, for instance from tzohar, or that excrement, or from urine, because that in itself is a tremendous bizoyin that Hashem's name should be present in a place that has a terrible stench. Okay.
But he's human. He has to go to the bathroom.
Yes.
He's human. He has to go to the bathroom. How can he avoid it?
Oh, it's a very, very good question. So let's go on to the next shtickle. Nizdam nali tvila shemitzah. So what happens if the person has to go in toivel in the mikveh? Koyrech olav gemi. He'll put on a gemi. A gemi means a reed. Today we would say a band-aid or something over the name b'toivel. And therefore, Robert, your question is very well taken. Here too, he'll make sure that it's covered over if he has to go to the bathroom. He will be wearing his underwear. He'll be wearing his pants, his shirt. Here we're talking about a person that has to go to the mikveh. He can't go to the mikveh with his hosen on. He has to go and take his clothing off. So he should put on a gemi. Yes, it's true. If you're going to put on a gemi, don't have a problem of chatzitza. And the Gemara Masechta Shabbos says he puts it on loosely. So there shouldn't be a chatzitza issue. But at the same time, he will not cause a direct erasure of Hashem's name because he has done this temporary covering. So it helps that he's not over on the Isser of the Baratim Mishamam Loisasin Kain. And it helps that you don't have the problem of you have a chatzitza because it's going to be put on loosely. So that's what you do. And when you go to the bathroom, like you asked a moment ago, you don't have to be koyach olav gemi because he puts on his clothing. And if it happens to be on his hands, he'll be wearing his gloves. And if he has to go to urinate, he'll go to a place where it's not shmutzik. In other words, don't go to one of these porta-johns that you have nowadays, that you're within 10 feet, you already smell the stench. You go somewhere else where it's clean, you don't have a terrible stench. That as we do Tanakam. Rabbi Yosi Oimer Yoyred the Toivel Kedarkoi Ubavad Shlo Yeshavshiv. You can go and toivel, you do not have to put the gemi on. Just make sure that you're going to the mikveh. Don't start wiping your hands and your arms and your nose and your legs. Just go in and come on out. And if Chas V'Shalom is an erasure, this wasn't done as a positive act. This happened on its own. Bishev the altais in a sense, because the water, just because you're going to the mikveh, doesn't mean it's going to wash it all away. Just if you just go in and you come out, whatever happens, happens. Okay, so now what's the machloikis between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yosi? Both the Tanakam and Rabbi Yosi agree that the waters in the mikveh have to go and get to the place of the Shem Hashem, because otherwise the tefillah is worthless. Aha, Shoy Bazoi, why does the Tanakam say make sure put that gemi on? Well, Rabbi Yosi says you don't have to bother. The kaimula, the betvila bezmana mitzvah kamiflegi, that the machlokes between the two is, do you have to be makbid that tevila should be dafka bezmana? The Tanakama sever lo yamrinan tevila bezmana mitzvah, Rabbi Yosi sever amrinan tevila bezmana mitzvah. What does it have to do with a gemi? What it has to do with a gemi is very simple. What happens if a person has to do it in toivel, and the person has such a shem, and he says, does anybody have a gemi? Sorry, I sold my last gemi to somebody else a week ago. I don't have any more gemis left. Do you have a gemi? I never have gemis. I don't even know what a gemi is. And what about you? No, I stay away from gemis. I don't have any gemis. What am I going to do? But the 5 and 10, is there still such a thing called the 5 and 10? No. Whatever, Woolworth or whatever.
99-cent store.
You can go and get gemis over there. Usually it's not for 99 cents. It's usually for $5.99. But it doesn't make a difference. But the point is,
no more Woolworth.
No more with Olsenat and Gimbal's Olsenat. No. Anyway, but the point is, says the Gemara, the Tanakhama says, I'm more concerned about the Shem, and therefore if I don't have a Gemi today, I'll get a Gemi tomorrow. And if I can't get it tomorrow, I'll go and get it 2 days from now. Rabbi Yosi said, no. You got a Toivul today. If you got a Gemi, that's great. That's a good Gemi. Put it on, I'm very happy. But if you don't have a gemi, what can I do? Tefillah b'zman ha-mitzvah overrides this concern. Oh, so Rabbi Yosi holds tefillah b'zman ha-mitzvah. And you just said a moment ago that the reason why Rabbi Yosi holds, you only have to do the hazah on shlish yishvi. They don't need hatzalah menina? Okay. The reason why you do it shlish yishvi is because you don't need, remember Rabbi Yosi said a minute ago that you do not need to do Azoh all 7 days. You only have to do Azoh on Shlishi u'Shvi. And the Gemara assumed that the reason is because he holds that Tvila Bizmana Lav Mitzvah. You don't have to do it with Dafka Bizmana. So I don't care when the Kohen Gadol became Tomei. If he became Tomei 2 days ago, 1 day ago, yesterday, today, whenever. I'm just going to count 3 days. 1, 2, 3. do azar. Count another 4 days, do a second azar. Would you just say now in this other brisa that Rabbi Yosi holds tefillas bizman and mitzvah? Don't wait for the gemi, go to the mikvah. Says Yimar Elo, I have a new pshat in the machloikis between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yosi. The kuliyamulahani tanoi amrinon tefillah bezmana mitzvah. Both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yosi agree that tefillah bezmana is a mitzvah. V'achav hakimufi, what is machlokes? Rabbi Meir said makshin hazol letefillah. Rabbi Yosi said makshin hazol letefillah. Ah, the machlokes is, do we extend this machlokes one step further to the din of hazor? So everybody agrees. V'chitoy b'yoy mashvi, you have to go and do the tefillah the same day as the second hazor. Everybody agrees. Hazor b'tvan. Not that you have to, but at least it's a mitzvah. V'chadchila, you have to be makbid. Mitzvah. Mashenkin, what about the hazor? Do I have to make sure the hazor is dafka b'shlishi shvi? What happens if it's going to be a month after the person became tamei? Does that bother me? Oh, that's already machlekes. The mayor says, machshin hazor l'tvila, and therefore I'm makbid, we should dafka do it on shlishi and shvi. And since I don't know when the kohen gadol became tamei, if he became tamei at all, it may have been 2 days before his Yemei Prisha, it may have been the day before, it may have been the first day en route to the Lishkas Bar Hanan. Since I don't know, every single day, on day one, and day two, and day three, we're going to go and do the Hazos Mei Paraduma, and then again, 5, 6, 7, to go and accomplish the Shlishi Ushvi. Masha Enkein, Rabbi Yossi said, the din of Bizmana mitzvah, there's a tvila dikadin. It's not a hazor dikadin. And all depends on whether a makish one to the other, because both of them appear in the same pasuk. It says in the pasuk, he's a biyam shlishi, biyam shvi, then the chitta biyam shvi, do I learn hazor from tvila, from hazor from tvila, or not? Okay, so therefore nothing to do with our machlekes. Frank Dimari, it's Reb Chanina's Kana Kahana. We've been very silent vis-a-vis Reb Chanina. Remember, Reb Chanina was the kosav shlishi, and he says it depends. The kohen is a para, you need kol shiva. The kohen got to be a mikipur, a meimazin olav, elishlishu shvi bilvat. So, Frank Dimara, mamanavshach. Imakish hazo le tvila. If he says that hazo is like tvila, and therefore you require hazo bizmano, a fila kohen be a mikipur, nami. Why don't we say there too? You should have to do it all 7 days, like we said according to Reb Meir. Makish is all the tefillah. If he holds like Rabbi Yosi that I'm not makish, after the kohen aser v'zapar and nami loy, so then the same thing should apply to the kohen aser v'zapar. He should only have to do it shlishi ushvi. Yet the Chanina Skana Kahanim says he has to go and be mazen olav kol shiva. Everyone the oilam loy makish. He's not makish, and therefore it would be enough to do shlishi ushvi both by the kohen gadol and may ikra din the kohen aser v'zapar. What's the reason why kohen aser v'zapar we do all 7 days? Malabi Alma, like we've said already a few times since Daf Beis, we were concerned because of the fact that we were, in a sense, makel by Hilchois Koyin, who's doing the Sreifa Sapara. How were we makel? We said that a Tvul Yoim is mutter to do the Sreifa Sapara. And as a result, that this was against the Tzedokim, and Tzedokim said, no, Chas V'Sholem, it's got to be Murav Shemesh, you have to wait till Harav Shemesh. Chom said, no, you're wrong. And to show them that he is wrong, that the Tzedokim are wrong, we were metame the Kohen, we went to make sure that he becomes Tamei, and then have him go to the Mikvah, and now he's a Tful Yoim, and now do the Sreifas apart. And guess what? Everybody started, not everybody, but a lot of people started being mezalzel in the Paraduma and said, you see, it's nishle gefährlich after all. You actually metami the kohen. You see the whole thing. Because of that, they instituted numerous chumrais to counteract in the people's mind that possible zilzul. So one of the things was, Rabbi Yisai, you all know, 7 days before Yom Kippur, we segregate and sequester the kohen gadol, and every... excuse me, and with that kohen gadol we do the hazor on shlishi ushvi. We're doing something similar now. We're sequestering the kohen who's going to go and be soyrif hasapara, and we're going to do the hazor all 7 days to show you how chomer the inyan of paradum is, and how many chomeres, and how you have to be mamish meticulous and scrupulous, and etc. 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 Fine, not for me. For you. Okay.
You might need it.
No, nothing. No, nothing.
I'm listening to you.
You're okay. It doesn't matter. You're no problem. Shemei Kohen.
We don't need Hazar.
I'm not going to drink it.
Not yet.
Okay. Later. Good. Maybe tomorrow. Do tomorrow. Keman as the Hodah Tanur Rabbanan. According to whom does the following brisa go in accord? Shtein the brisa ein ben koin asoyr v'sapora the koin God will be yemek kippurim. We're comparing the two, the Kohen Sreifa Sapara, the 7 days prior to the Sreifa Sapara, and the Kohen Gadol, the 7 days B'yom Kippur. There's no difference, ain't bang. Ella, one difference. Shezef Rishosa L'Kedusha, the Echav HaKehanim, Noigim Boi. Vezef Rishosa L'Tahara, the in Echav HaKehanim, Noigim Boi. When we're talking about the Kohen Gadol that's going to do the Avodah on Yom Kippur, his Prisha is for Kedusha purposes. What means Kedusha? So Rashi tells us, as we had in the Gemara already before, that one of the main reasons we sequester him in the Lishkas Parhedrin for a full week is so that he should develop an awe, a great reverence, a degree of trepidation for the holy day of Yom Kippur. And that's why we want to make sure that for 7 days he concentrates doing tshuva and to be ro'oi for that holy moment of Yom Kippur when he has to do all the avodah. But because we're not concerned particularly about tumah, we have a concern about tumah, but it's not an overriding major concern. He could have visitors during that 7 days. And in fact, as you recall, we learned that two Talmidei Chachamim are set aside to teach him all the halachas, all the rules and regulations of Yom Kippur during that 7 day period. So we do allow for access to other individuals. Let's look at the top Rashi. Shezep Rishos L'Kedusha, Likonis L'Machne Shechina, to go to the Kodesh Kadosh, V'lo Yehi Liboy Zacha Olav, and he should not take this with any degree of frivolity. He shouldn't be frivolous about it. This is a holy moment. This is very, very special. They nivdol mikol kalas reish. Stay away from any type of kalas reish, anything that could lead to frivolity. Shechola olav eima, so that he should be full of awe, trepidation, trembling. Siyem kodosh, he's going kodesh kodoshim. Bavdolosim in abrias. However, people can visit. However, when we come to the second coin is the coin before the Sreifa Sapara that were poidish him. He's poidish with Tahara. The Ein Echav Kanam Noigim Boy. Stay away. Social distancing. Wear masks. Wear gloves. Don't let anybody go and get even close to you to touch you. Next Rashi, if the Prishosei Litahara, says Rashi, Lahachme B'Tarosoi. We want to be Machme of in his purity. But Nekal She'oisim Boy Litamoi Boy. Remember, we are so concerned about this one kula that we are allowing the kohen to become tameh on the day of his of having to do the spritzing of the hazor, not actually the spritzing, actually the sreifa separa. She'oisim boy letamei boy b'yom lahadbiloi. The hoytim eliman shel tzedoikim to go, and the tzedoikim were very, very machmir. They said it has to be rov shemesh. We don't paskin like that. We hold a fila tvil yoim, and therefore, because we were mizalzel to a certain extent by being metame the koyin and then being matbil the koyin, she should be a tvil yoim. Lachachmiru b'taros. This was yet another chumrah. Don't have anybody say Shalom Aleichem by greeting you with his hand. You have to say from afar, oh, Shalom Aleichem. But don't get even close to the kohen. Ah, so this is, of course, yet another chumrah that the kohen has over the kohen god. But notice the brisa began, Ein Bein. This is the sole difference that I can think of off the top of my mind between the Kohen Gadol in his sequestration and the Kohen Asoyrev as Paraduma in his sequestration. What is that? Whether we allow access to other Kahanim to be Nagea Boy or not. Says Yomara, is that the only difference? Come on. Oyer a mayor, oyer a b'yosi. L'choyer this price can only stem loyter mayor or a b'yosi. Why the ear of Chanina chaskana kahanim? Who ikanami ah? As Reb Chanina chaskana kahanim made another difference. What was that other difference? Whether you have to have azos shlishu shvi'i bilvad, or whether you have to have azos all 7 days? Reb Meir and Reb Yosi both were consistent. Reb Meir says both of them have a full 7 days. Reb Yosi says both of them only have shlishi ushvi. However, Reb Chanina chaskana kahanim says it depends. The Kohen who does the Sreifa Sapara has to have all 7 days, while the Kohen Gadol only has to have Shlishi Ushvi. So why does it say Ein Bein Legabi, whether the Kahanim echo v'kehanim noigin boy or not. I have another nafkin mina. Is therefore l'chay the ra'i is at this price it goes according to Meir or according to Biyosi, but not again, not according to Rav Chanina's kanaka. Mask of the Rav Biyosi and Rav Chanina. And now we're coming to Barry's question of about 10-15 minutes ago. Frey to Biyosi Rav Chanina. Bishloim arishon shema shlishi. Shaini shema shlishi. Shlishi shema shlishi. I can understand why the first 3 days were maza the kohen gadol. The reason is because the first day may be the third day, because maybe became tamei 2 days ago. So bishloim arishon we do the hazor because shema shlishi maybe today the first day is his third day since he became tamei. We do the hazor on shaini shema shlishi maybe it's the third day since he became tamei. Shlishi shema shlishi. On the third day, it's the third day since he became Tamei, because en route to the Lishkas Behedrin, maybe at that time he became Tamei unawares. Okay, so now today's day number 3. I understand that perfectly. Now, skip day 4 for a moment, and let's go to Chamishi. To day 5. You know why we do Azon 5? Shemesh Shvi. Because if we are measuring from day number 1, you always have to add 4 days, Shlishi Ushvi, 4 days interval in between. Okay? So if day 1 was day Shlishi, which day would be now day Shvi, 4 days later? So, Chamishi, I understand why, because we're doing now the second shot, right? You have to have 2 shots for the sequestration. So, Chamishi, Shema Shvi. Shishi, we're going to do Shema Shvi. Maybe this is now the 4th day since day number 2. So that's why on today, on day 6, we do the second Hazor, which is day 7. Of the Shlishi Shvi. And Shvi Shema Shvi. Maybe Taka became Tomei en route to Lishus Bahedrin. So therefore that was day 1. We counted out day 3. We did the Hazor on day 3. 4 days, 1 day, 7. El Ravi Lomeli Hazor Klal. Loi Bishlishi Klesvuke. Loi Bishvi Lesvuke. Was that your question, Barry?
Exactly.
Directly on point. Why are we doing Hazor on Yoim Ravi? Because there's no point to it whatsoever. Frankly, let me ask you a question. Plitamech Hazor Kol Shiva Mi Ika. The whole concept of having Hazor all 7 days, is that ever possible? For Kaimalon, didn't we learn back in Mesechtes Pesachim? We had a whole discussion about it, Mesechtes Pesachim. And we came out at the end, the Hazor Shvus, Beinadoichas Shabbos. The whole Indian of Hazor is a Shvus. Shvus means that it's only Midrabanan, it's not Min HaTorah. The Issur of doing Hazor on Shabbos or on Yontiv is only a Shvus. What's a Shavuos? It's Asur Midrabanan. What's the Issur Drabanan? The Issur Drabanan is Atum, Mishom,
Mitakin
Gavra, Mitakin Tikkun Mana. One of the 39 Malachas is what we call Tikkun Makir Patish. Makir Patish means to go and finish off a finished product, or it means to fix a broken product, and therefore you have a Tikkun Mana situation. Okay, going and having a person having Hazor on Shabbos, that's a tikkun mana. Until now, he is tamei. He wouldn't be able to eat kachim. Now we are being misakinim by going and doing the hazor shlish yushvi. You're not allowed to do that on Shabbos, hazor shvus. Beinu doichus Shabbos. So if that's the case, every single 7 day period ever always includes Shabbos as one of the 7 days. You cannot avoid having Shabbos within 7 days. So if you're going to go and sequester the Kohen Gadol 7 days before Yom Kippur, and you're telling me that all of the 7 days we're going to do Hazor, that's not true. We're not going to do the Hazor whichever day is Shabbos, whether, I don't know if Shabbos will be day 1 or day 6 or day 4 or day 3. Makes no difference. But that day we're not going to do the Hazor. I'll leave it at Kuliyam. So how do we say these magic words? We're going to do Hazor Kol Shiva. It's really only Kol Shisha. Shisha out of the Shiva. Elamai Yislach L'mayim. What are you going to be forced to say? Shiva's Lav Davka. Although he said Shiva, it really means Shiva Levar Mishabbos. 7, but of course, mine, that's the Tava Poshet, Mayna Shabbos. Even though we talk about Azor's Kol Shiva, we don't really mean Kol Shiva, we mean mostly Kol Shiva. Rubai Kikulai, 6 out of the 7, we're going to leave out the 4th day, because the 4th day is neither the first of the two Hazois, nor the second. It's neither day Shlishi, nor day Shvi.
And the Shabbos doesn't fall, if I can keep it.
Wait 1 second. Omer Rav, Hilkach, and therefore, koyin gadol biyom kippurim to loy bedidon talyim milta el bekvi diarcha. We bnei adam, we cannot set which day of the month or which day of the week is going to be Yom Kippur, because that's already based on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that Yom Kippur always comes out the 10th day of Tishrei, whether you like it or not. You can stand on your head, it's always going to be the 10th day of Tishrei. And sometimes the 10th day of Tishrei is going to be on a Monday, and sometimes on a Tuesday, and sometimes on a Shabbos, or whenever it falls out. Hilchos Kohen Gadol b'Yom Kippur, and the Loi b'Didon Talyim Milta, it's not up to us. El b'Kvi Diyarcha Talyim Milta, it depends on the day of the week, day of the month. Is betlase betishrei boy lafrushe. You always have to do prisha on Tzom Gedalia, on the third day of Tishrei, right after Rosh Hashanah, because you have to have 7 days. So you have from Shlishi through Chi'i a full 7 days, and right after that will be Yom Kippur. For chol emes de misrami tlase betishrei mefarshinale. Whenever Tuesday comes out, not Tuesday, whenever the third day of Tishrei comes out, that's when it comes out. It might come out on a Sunday, it might be on a Monday, maybe a Tuesday, a Wednesday, whenever it comes out. Whenever that is, you start your May Prisha. Of course, according to our calendar, it cannot fall out all one of the 7 days. We have Le'adu Rosh, and we have a similar concept by Yom Kippur. But the point is, whenever the third of Tishrei is, you do the Prisha. And therefore, whenever Shabbos will fall out, whether Shabbos will fall out on that day or any other day of the 7 days, you're not going to do the Hazor on that day. That's already up to us. We can decide when we should go and do the Sreifa Sapara. Go and make big signs out in the street. Sreifa Sapara is going to be on Sunday, or on Monday, or on Tuesday, or on Wednesday. We can make that decision. So you know when we're going to do it? We're always going to start the Prisha, the 7 days, on the Wednesday before. Why on the Wednesday before? So that we should be able to go and, what's the expression, kill two birds with one stone, that the fourth day will also be Shabbos. Right? If you're Poydashim Mafreshim on Wednesday, the fourth day of the week, Wednesday will be the first day, Thursday will be the second day, Friday will be the third day, and then fourth day will be Shabbos. So we're going to do the first Hazorah of the Shiva Yomim. We're going to do the first Hazorah on Wednesday, second on Thursday, third one on Friday. Shabbos, day of rest, no Hazorah. For two reasons. Number one, because the Hazor is Shavuos Ve'ena Doichas HaShabbos. And number two, there's no purpose in doing the Hazor on day four anyway. And then, starting on Sunday, then Monday and Tuesday, we'll do the second Hazor. That'll be the Hazor of Shvi.
There is a case, though, of Erev Pesach. Yeah. When there's a time constraint, then you may have to do it timely.
Mm-hmm.
This prerogative of coinciding Yom Rabbi on Shabbos mm-hmm. always exists. Erev Pesach, you have time constraints.
When
you want to get the Karpesach, the Tumah should be removed before Karpesach's
mind. Shabbos is Erev Pesach, and somebody is a Shvi, Hazor Shvi.
Right, in that case, when you don't leverage, you don't have the time.
No, I'm not sure what you're asking. Are you talking about a regular Erev Pesach, where you have a Kohen or another Yid of Klal Yisrael that needs to have Hazor?
You can't wait to coincide with Shabbos and Revi. It's not, you can't wait, you can't delay it.
You know, I understand what you're saying. But Mendy, bear in mind one thing. We're talking about two Hafrashas. Hafrasha before Yom Kippur of the 7 days, and Hafrasha before the Paradum of 7 days. Yom Kippur will never fall out on Pesach. And you don't have to do the Paraduma on Erev Pesach. You can go and do the Paraduma a month before, 3 weeks before, a week after Karban Pesach, right?
Okay. My question is, when you didn't have a fixed calendar and Yom Kippur could fall out on Tuesday, then this all works, because then Yom Revi, for the Kohen who is in Lishkas Parhedrin being segregated, his Hazaj Ashlishi V works out.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a day where the fourth day is not Shabbos because mm-hmm. of the calendar,
right,
then you got a problem according to a mayor. How can you have Hazaj all seven? One of the days you're going to miss Yom Revi, and you're also going to miss whatever day is Shabbos. So it's not like the Parah Aduma where you can line them up before the fact. Here, you're going to have 2 days.
100%. And that was, Mar's original kasha was, I have one day. Bishloim Rishin Shemesh Lishi, Sheni Shemesh Lishi, Shlishi Shemesh Lishi, Chami Shemesh Mi, etc. Elevi Lomali, Hazor Klal. What do you need Hazor for? Le Bishlishi, Kasuker Le Bishvi. Says the Mar, What about Hazos Kol Shiva? That also is impossible because one of the days is Shabbos. Elamai Yislach Lemeilet Shiva is Lav Davka. We don't mean full seven. We mean almost seven. Virtual seven. What's virtual seven? 6 days because of Shabbos. If in fact the day number four won't be Shabbos, it won't be a virtual seven of six. It will be a virtual seven of five.
And so if Yom Kippur falls out on Sunday,
yeah,
and the seventh day was supposed to be
on Shabbos,
and we don't do it,
mm-hmm.
So what happens?
So you only do the Hazos the day before.
So, and okay, all right. So Kointra Biosi, he wouldn't have. Oh, Kointra Biosi, I'm asking, not Kointra Meir.
Right.
But Kointra Biosi, Yom Kippur this year, because of Eidim coming, comes out on Sunday,
mm-hmm.
Motzei Shabbos. Mm-hmm. It can't happen for us.
So go and do the Hazor the day before, so you'll be a Shlishin Shvi. You won't wait until day three and then day seven, because day seven is Shabbos. So you'll do the Hazor on day two, and therefore day two of the 7 days of Prisha,
right,
based on the assumption that that's the third day or more since any Tumas Mez.
Okay.
Because the whole thing is on the Hashash, it's not that we know for sure.
And on day six, because it's 4 days after the first...
Exactly. Okay. Okay. Exactly right. Good. And continuing on the Gemara, Lilishkas Parhedrin. Back in the beginning of our Masechta, we said that 7 days we sequestered the Kohen Gadol in the Lishkas Parhedrin. What does Parhedrin mean? Rashi says Parhedrin means Pekidei HaMelech. Pekidei HaMelech means clerks. In the Meforshim it says these are people like weight inspectors. People that would go to the stores or they would go to the marketplace to make sure that all the weights and balances were done correctly. Today we might think of them as people that give out the tickets when you're double parked or that you're parked a minute beyond 9:30 or 9:35 or whatever it happens to be. Low-level official positions of power.
Is the word preda in that word?
Preda, what would preda mean?
Separation.
And what would separation have to do with it? Because we're separating him for 7 days. It's a thought.
I think that I think it is. I think we had it earlier.
I
think on that phase we had. I think we said Lishkas Parhedrin.
That says Lishkas Parhedrin for sure, but it doesn't use the word preda. It uses the word mafreshin.
Okay.
Anyway, so Parhedrin, by the way, then that would be Dalet before Hay, and Parhedrin is Hay before Dalet. Okay, Ein Mukta Mu'ucha Batayra. But the point is, says the Gemara, why are you calling it Lishkas Parhedrin? Ay, valoi Lishkas Balvuti hoysa. The real name is the Lishkas Balvuti. Now, what means Balvuti? Says Rashi Loshin Sorim. This was a place for the nobility, for the aristocracy, for the princes. Can you imagine? This is a chosh of a place. Say, until now we used to call it the Lishkas Balvuti for the nobility, aristocracy, and now he's saying, for the parking meter ladies. What's going on? It's really fallen. It's time to be Dovach in Lishkas Parhedrin Oysa, while the Lishkas Balvuti Oysa. El Batchilo, you coin Oysa Lishkas Balvuti, they in fact initially called it Lishkas Balvuti, because who are the Kahanim Gedoilim? Those were the nobility, the aristocracy, the Shemst of Eden of Klal Yisrael. However, Mitosha Noisn Olaf Mamun the Kahuna, Umachlif and Oisa Koshne Masa Choydish, Kippa Hedrin Halolush, Machlif and Oisa Koshne Masa Choydish, Tichoykoin Oisa Lishkas Bahedrin. What does he want me to say? As we know in the second base of Midish, unfortunately, Rachman Litzlan, as time went on, many of the Kahanim Gedoilim were not Ra'ui to be Kahanim Gedoilim. So how did they become Kahanim Gedoilim? They slipped a 5 or a 50. Or a 500, or a 5,000, or a 50,000, whatever to the king, the Beis Chashmonai, and they said, Beis Chashmonai, you know, we're best friends, aren't we? Especially if I hand you $5,000 or $50,000. Oh boy, are we best friends. What are you asking for? I want to be appointed Kohen Gadol. For that, you have to have 500,000. No problem. Money is no object. Here's 500,000. So the point is, they got it by bribing or giving presents to the king. And therefore, the level of the Kahanim Gedolim wasn't what it was at one time. It was big, unfortunately. It went down very, very, very badly. And therefore, that's what the Gemara is telling us. Historically, this was known as the Lishka of the Balvuti, the Shemster, the best. Unfortunately, with time, it became known as the Lishka's Parhedrin, because, says the Gemara, because they would give a lot of money to buy the position. And they would be Machlif. Now, Machlif over here has a double connotation. Connotation number one is, unfortunately, most of those kahanim were not moiti shenosan. Most of them didn't last for more than a year. Why? Because unfortunately they were rishoy. Occasionally they would actually pass away on Yom Kippur itself, and then they had to go and schlep them out with the strings, with a,
cords.
With a cord.
On his foot.
Yeah, exactly. We'll make sure we'll learn about that later in the Masechta. So in that one sense, machlifim, there was a constant yearly rotation of kahanim gedolim. Sir, this hasn't been touched. Maybe you'd like to go and take this a cup full for you, for a chosh of the yid, a tired yid. This tired yid, one that filled it for you, so he gets the this chosh. Hatzloch rabbi, sag you mentioned. That's the gabei, the kahanim gedolim themselves. Number two, because these kahanim gedolim, money was no object. They paid a lot of money for their position. And as you can tell, they were somewhat pompous and arrogant. I'm the mighty, I'm the kohen gadol. They would go and each year demolish the lishkas Sanhedrin and start building it from anew.
Just like the infrastructure.
Exactly. Just like every time you read about in the papers, that the fake newspapers, that if and when there's a new president, so then they have to remodel the whole thing, even though it looks perfect. No, it's got to be a different color, different blah, 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 blah. And they spend thousands of dollars to remodel it, so that the next first lady...
Tens of thousands.
Tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions, so that the next first lady they can go and change it around again. Anyway, let's take a quick look at the Rashi.
And
New Kevish, right? Exactly right. Let's see Rashi. Let's go back to the previous one. So Rashi. But as long as Shemat Tzadik lived, Lishkas Bavut, the sort of the nobility. But later on, Mitosha Noisen Momen Lakuna, Mitosha Kehane Bayesheni, Hoy the Oindem Ayede Momen Shenoisen Alkuna Gedoyle Malchim Beis Chashmenoi. They paid for it. They bought the position. They used to go and pay the Malchus Machlif and Oisa Koshne Machusachach. Kloime, Shershoim Hoy, they were bad guys. Voyoyamitin Shenosen. Typically, they didn't even last as Kohen Gadol for more than a year. And therefore, they had to go and point another one instead. The whole Kohen HaMeschadish Bo, Soyser Oisa, would demolish the Lishkas Parhedrin, Uboinet Binyan Nominarishan. He would make a fancier castle or mansion or palace than the original one. Should take Kriya Shemaya. Everybody should now call it Shmerels, beautiful Lishkas Parhedrin. Not Berels, but now Shmerels. The names of Meschalef is Koshan Vishans every year. Kipahedin Alolu, says Rashi, Shah Melech Mechalfin Koshan Vishana. These low-level clerks that we're talking about, these appointed officials, the king used to go and do a rotation. Every year, we'd go and appoint new appointees. And therefore, just like those low-level clerks, every year there were new ones, and the Kahanim Gedolim would look like the same type of revolving door type of situation. Chazulikos, Lishkas Behen. So let's just review the words again, because we read them quickly. We'll start again from Tanya, from the two dots. Tanya Buda. It was used to be called that beautiful chamber of the nobility. Because they had Kehanim Gedolim like Shimon HaTzadik. Avad. However, the later Kehanim Gedolim, they paid for the position. And both Hashem was machlev them. Hashem would have a revolving door on these Kehanim Gedolim because they typically passed away in the same year. And because they themselves demolished these beautiful structures year after year after year, just like a Behenin Halolish and Machlif and Oysum Koshneim Masachoydish, just like these low level clerks that are also rotating and revolving each year. That's why they changed the name from Lishkas Balvuti. Lishkas Parhedrin.
Must have worked very quickly if they could build a new one every year.
Yeah, I guess that's a quick contractor.
Yeah, I guess the slave labor worked efficiently. Yeah,
exactly. We'll stop over here. Tomorrow we're going to talk about the fact that in the second Mason Mikdash, there were over 300 Kohanim Gedolim because of what we just said. Mitchum, do we continue tomorrow? Have a wonderful day, everybody.